9:30 WNTA. I'm Ken DeCastro. We're starting the show a bit early this morning. My thanks to Sylvia for her understanding. It's my pleasure to welcome to 1330 WNTA from Washington 16th District Congressman Don Manzullo. Congressman, how are you?
I'm doing fine, Ken.
Thank you so much for your time. We have lots to talk about today in this limited time period. Senator Dick Durbin expressed optimism that a health care reform compromise bill will be passed by both chambers of Congress by December 1st. Congressman Manzullo, do you share that optimism, and will that bill include a so-called public option?
Well, first of all, we don't know what's in the bill because the bill is being written secretly behind closed doors in the office of the Senate Majority Leader, Harry Reid from Nevada, who is a Democrat. All the Republicans have been excluded from it. So this is not a bipartisan bill that's been written. Second of all, is that the with regard to the, I call it the government option, because it's run by the government, it's paid for by the government, and not everybody in the public will be thrilled that they'll be losing their insurance. They could lose their own private insurance in favor of some type of government-run type of insurance. But the Baucus bill that the Senate passed out of committee still has a government, some type of a government entity to determine which elements would be in every health care plan, thus limiting consumer choice. Plus, it still has this thing about the options exchange, and no one's quite sure what will be on that. But one thing for sure is that the public option has been something that the president has championed, that most Democrats have championed, and whether you call the public option or some type of a co-op, it's going to be there in one form or another, and our big concern is that would lead to the loss of private insurance.
And yet it's designed to curb the skyrocketing cost of private insurance, but you're saying that would force them out of business?
Well, in a couple of ways. The first thing is, if you take a look at the so-called subsidies that will go to the typical family of four that is interested in buying insurance, as a person's income goes up, the subsidies become less, so that it becomes a perverse incentive to earn more money, because you end up paying more taxes in terms of the amount of money that you have to pay for health insurance. It doesn't really make sense, because the problem is that there's nothing being done in any of these bills to bring down the continuous accelerating cost of health care. And that's why number one out there is the fact that you have to have medical liability reform to stop these oppressive premiums being charged to our physicians, and to stop some of these high-dollar verdicts. The Congressional Budget Office itself said that this could save at least $50 billion a year, $54 billion a year, but there is no medical liability reform in any of these bills that are drawn by the Democrats. So you have to ask yourself, are they really interested in bringing down the high cost of medical expenses?
You're talking about caps on damages?
Yes. I mean, you take Wisconsin, for example. The premiums for medical liability insurance for doctors in Wisconsin are a half to one-third of what they are in the state of Illinois. I was talking to a neurosurgeon in Rockford who's paying over $500,000 a year just in medical liability insurance. In fact, the southern part of the state of Illinois, God forbid you should get in an accident, but to try to find a neurosurgeon, you'd have to go to either St. Louis or be flown into Chicago or Springfield or somewhere else like that. So, you know, until I see a movement towards bringing down the high cost of medical insurance, I really do not believe any of these plans that the majority party has come up with is going to bend the curve on the increasing cost of health insurance.
Our guest is Congressman Don Manzullo. Our phone number is 815-874-8255. We have limited time with the congressman. Congressman, describe your concept of realistic health care reform legislation that would indeed curb the rising cost of health insurance and make it more accessible to more Americans.
Well, first of all, we start with the premise that there are about 47 million people that don't have insurance. as President Obama said in a speech to Congress about a month ago, that's really 30 million, because the other 17 million, half are illegal, and the other half are illegal, the people that are living in this country. And when you come to this country, you sign a statement saying that you're not going to become a person who is a debtor as to state services, and therefore those people must get insurance. As to the illegals, I really have a very difficult time extending insurance to people who have come into this country having broken the law. So you're dealing with 30 million people, but if you take a look at who those 30 million people are, many of those people can be taken care of simply through two things. Number one, if the high cost of health insurance were brought under control, which it will if we have meaningful medical liability reform, and allow small businesses and individuals to join associations so that they could pool together to form large purchasing blocks, such as unions do and large companies, this would go a long way towards bringing down the cost of insurance and increasing accessibility. So, you know, there are a lot of things that can be done, but just because people are uninsured does not mean that they're not getting access to medical care. That's where you have the great stories of the Crusader Clinics of this country. And when you take a look at what Crusader Clinic delivered, one out of four or one out of five babies in Winnebago County this past year, and operates to provide care for people who fall in the cracks. If we increase the number of community health centers, that will go a long way towards giving medical care to a lot of people that simply don't have it right now. And the other thing is to treat small business people and self-employed with respect to the same insurance the same way corporations are treated. And that is that you can buy your insurance with pre-tax dollars. That's always been the problem with, for example, my brother had his restaurant sure. in New Milford. He and his wife paid an extra 15.6% for their insurance because they could not purchase their insurance as sole proprietors, a non-corporation, with pre-tax dollars. So, I mean, a lot of things that can be done overnight, easily, without disruption, without thousands and thousands of bureaucrats being involved, those things should have been done incrementally. Several years ago, the House passed on three different occasions association health plans that would allow the small entrepreneurs, the little guys, to join together to have the large purchasing pools to bring down the high cost of insurance, and it died in the Senate by two votes. And the House also passed, with my support, on two or three different occasions, the bill that would put caps on medical liability verdicts and to bring down the high cost of liability insurance to physicians. That never was brought up in the Senate.
Our guest is Congressman Don Manzullo. Our phone number is 874-8255. Jeff, you're on WNTA with the Congressman Don Manzullo.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Hi.
I wanted to ask about a couple of different things this morning. The first one, Mr. Manzullo, is have you seen the commercial out that shows a insurance healthcare executive stating that without a public option that there is absolutely no incentive for insurance companies to reduce their rates?
I haven't seen that.
Okay. It's a very eye-opening commercial. And the guy states that he's a former health insurance company executive. Whether that's true or not, I don't know, but that's what they state. The other thing is, you mentioned Crusader Clinic as being a very good option. I had a friend of mine that he's lost his job maybe a year ago, and things are pretty tight for him these days. He had a crown come loose because he's always, you know, taking good care of his teeth, but he had a crown come loose. Couldn't afford to spend the hundreds of dollars to have that repaired at his regular dentist, so he went to Crusader Clinic. The only option he was given was we can pull the tooth. And, you know, I think that you'd have to agree that, you know, that's not really a very good option.
I would have to see that personally. I mean, I've been working very closely with that clinic. I was there when they brought in the dental chairs when Northwestern School of Dentistry closed their practice. And I, you know, I mean, that's an anecdotal story, and I really don't know if I would agree that what you're saying is that the care that they're getting at Crusader Clinic is poor, and I would have disagree
with you on that.
No, what
I'm saying is that he was allowed to have the tooth pulled, but they don't do crowns and that sort of thing there.
I don't know.
And that's, you know, that's a shame, but...
But most insurance doesn't cover crowns either.
Well, but they'll cover, you know, a certain amount.
No, they don't.
They cover them generally at about 50%.
No, the Blue Cross Blue Standard Blue Cross Standard option covers very little of that type of coverage for teeth. You usually need some type of an additional plan to cover crowns.
I work at a factory here in Rockford and have Echo Insurance.
Mm-hmm.
If you're familiar with that or
yes,
not.
Yes, that's good. That's a captive by about 17. Yeah, that's a captive of about 16 or 17 companies that pooled together to form a purchasing pool.
Yeah, and they cover the crowns at 50%.
Oh, that's good.
Thank you, Jeff. Good to talk to you.
Ken.
Yes, sir.
What insurance companies need as an inducement to reduce the rate is to have a decrease in the cost of providing medical services because the premiums are based in general upon the cost of the services that they insure. So I don't know where that ad's coming from, but the problem with the public option is that at least under HR 3200, the public option would actually knock insurance companies out of business. I mean, for example, you'll find written very clearly into that massive law the fact that if you have a private insurance plan, the private individual insurance plan, the plan is grandfathered. It's not allowed to grow. New insurers cannot be added to it, which means that you're automatically knocked into the public option plan, and public option pays Medicare plus 5%. And those are very low rates of reimbursement, and we have a problem now with Medicare providers getting Medicare reimbursement. For the hospitals that get, and doctors that get Medicare assignment to pay the bills, it costs an additional $1,400 per family on their own private plan in order to make that subsidy because of the low cost of Medicare reimbursements.
Your plan is Blue Cross Blue Shield?
Yep, it's Blue Cross Blue Shield.
Does that cover crowns?
No.
Okay. Jake, you're on WNTA with the Congressman, Don Manzullo. Hi, Jake.
Yes, good morning, Matt.
Hi, Jake. How are you?
Oh, not too bad. Don, I'm reading from an article in Thursday, October 15th, and this is quoting Gordon Eggers, the CEO from Crusader Clinic. He says, "We have close to a $25 million budget, but only 16% is government funds."
Mm-hmm.
Earlier in the article, he says that, he states, 58% of Crusader's patients are on Medicaid, 7% are on Medicare. That's 65% as far as I can figure.
That would be correct. Okay. What he meant was in terms of direct subsidies coming through the federal program that helps the community health centers.
So they get $4 million in direct subsidies, correct?
Well, whatever it is, 58% is Medicare, and what is the other one is Medicaid?
Well, no, he said that 16% is government funds.
That would be a direct subsidy, that's correct.
Pardon?
That'd be a direct subsidy.
That'd be a direct subsidy, mm-hmm. But the indirect subsidy is the other 65%, right?
That would be correct, but I think they have about at least 10% that's a private insurance.
7% is
7% is private insurance.
And 28% is uninsured.
That's correct. And then you have to look at the job that they do in the community. I think last year they serviced somewhere around 42 or 43,000 people that visited the clinic in Rockford.
40,080,
mm-hmm.
Precise.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Jake. No cost of living increases next year for Social Security recipients. The president is proposing one-time $250 checks for recipients. Congressman, do you support this idea, and how can the federal government
afford
it?
Yeah, there has to be a way somehow to make that, because what we found out today is the Part B premium for next year is going up by 15%. And that means that the $250 is going to have to be used by the seniors getting money this year to help pay for the increase in premium that comes next year. So they're looking for several ways in order to make that available to the seniors, but yeah, I support it.
John, you're on NTA with Congressman Don Manzullo. John, good morning.
Morning, Ken. Morning, Don.
Morning, John.
I have to take umbrage with you, Don, because I went there with a crown, loose crown, and they don't fix loose crowns at all.
Where?
They don't fix any at Crusader.
I don't know. Somebody's just going to have to call over there and find out exactly what they do and what they don't do. I'm just saying that there are that in many cases, in most cases, the Crusader Clinic tries to fill in the gap, and you may not get everything that you would have if you have private insurance. But a lot of private insurance doesn't cover crowns anyway. Mine doesn't.
Mine used to until I lost it. Mine covered crowns, covered everything. But since I lost my insurance, when I lost my wife's insurance, they lowered her insurance and to save money, but the price of the insurance didn't go down.
That's correct.
The benefits went down, but the insurance cost didn't go down at all.
John, the big problem is we have to do something that breaks the curve of the increase in the cost of health services across the country. I mean, we can get by with, you know, everybody looks at a cost of living increase of, you know, if it's 1 or 2% or whatever it is applied to the general economy. That's why it's really important to enact meaningful health care liability reform so that the medical providers can afford to pay the insurance, and instead of passing the cost of the premiums onto the consumer, and more importantly, instead of passing on the cost of preventive medicine to the consumers, we simply have to do something to stop the increase in cost. I saw one study that said somewhere between 20 and 25% of tests that are ordered are done in a preventive mode, because doctors are trying to do everything they can to order as many tests as possible so they don't get sued.
Thank you, John. Julie, you're on WNTA with Congressman Don Manzullo. Julie, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I just have a couple quick comments. My son and daughter-in-law both have Medicaid. They've gotten wonderful care at Crusader Clinic, but there is not an adult dentist there at all. They can get their... there's a child dentist, but no adult dentist.
Okay. Bill, you're on NTA with Congressman Don Manzullo. Bill, good morning.
Well, Congressman, I haven't heard anybody talk about truth and villain in the whole congressional debate. And the reason is my wife had a surgery about 9 months ago, and after everything was done, there was a $60,000 bill from the hospital. Fortunately, we have insurance. So the bill that my insurance company got for the whole surgery, after $60,000, they paid $19,000.
Mm-hmm.
We paid $1,000 in our deductible.
Mm-hmm.
I went in and I talked to the hospital people and I said, now, if I didn't have insurance and I had to pay this bill, how much would you have discounted me? And they said you would have had to pay the $60,000.
Yeah, right. You could pay $60,000 if you can't afford insurance in the first place.
Why don't we go after these hospitals and these billing practices, and if it costs the insurance company $10, it should cost the non-insured person $10. I mean, no one is talking about the discrepancies in how this whole game is being played.
I think
how
if you...
How are you going to find balance?
Well, my wife was hospitalized with cancer 3.5 years ago, and hospitalization and surgery. The hospitalization was close to $100,000. Blue Cross Blue Shield paid about $25,000. The insurance companies negotiate with the hospitals exactly how much they're going to pay. And I would suspect that if you don't have insurance and you go to a hospital and tell them that that you want to have the same rate that the insurance companies do, that shouldn't be a problem because they'll be lucky to get anything.
All right, Bill. Bob, you're on NTA with Congressman Don Manzullo. Bob, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. Just a couple quick comments.
Mm-hmm.
Just to take you off the beaten path here just a little bit. I'm listening to Quinn talk about raising cigarette taxes. Now, I'm not a smoker, but I tell you what, it's time to leave those people alone. It's just getting to be too much. Why can't the Democrats just simply take and learn to govern with the assets that they have rather than keep clipping away and clipping away and clipping away? It just gets a little vexing after a while. My second thought is the soda pop in Illinois, they raised it to keep kids from getting fat is what the, all the argument was out there. It's for your benefit because you guys are getting obese and we need to get the sugary substance. Well, I've been a diabetic since I've been 7 years old and drank nothing but Diet Pop, yet my Diet Pop went up in Texas.
Well, you know, individuals make choices. Somebody's going to come out with a pizza tax. I would imagine my brother had the pizza burger for years. Dad had the franchise, a beautiful Italian Sunny Boy bun toasted with cheese and sausage and special sauce that was patented, etc. And I can see some government clown coming along and saying, oh, by the way, you know, we're going to give you a fat tax because of that pizza burger. I mean, people have individual responsibilities in order to lead their own lives and to say, well, we're going to put a tax on sugar, on pop. Take a look at the sugar content. Better yet, and I'm always in the process of trying to lose weight. I'm on the Weight Watchers online program and working away at it, and it's been partially successful. Look at the salt content. If you're talking about people gaining weight, but who are these people that can say, you know, we're going to tax you because you like soda pop or buy a can of soup and see the salt content because salt should not exceed the amount of calories. The grams of salt should not exceed the amount of calories. So now we're going to have all these food police going around and mandating different taxes on different foods because these foods all are supposed to lead to be obese. Illinois, wisely, 60 years ago or so, passed the first law in the nation to require students in its schools to have physical education. And just, you know, I agree with you, Bob, it's just absurd to go around and raise...
One social behavior gets to be, just like I say, gets to be a little overbearing. I mean, rather than looking at, look at Iowa and Wisconsin on cigarette taxes. Wisconsin's like the second highest in the United States on cigarette taxes. All those people are coming to Illinois, so why don't they reap the benefits of all those smokers that are coming out of Janesville and Beloit down into the South Beloit area and enjoy the additional revenues that they're getting?
Well, people will do that. The other thing is that in the Baucus bill, under present law, an employer can, I think I've got this straight, an employer can add or subtract a 20% premium based upon a person's lifestyle. And still be within the realm of following all the federal health care laws. The Baucus bill would increase that somewhere around 40%, which means you may have somebody who is diabetic, may have somebody who is overweight and can't help it, all kinds of different scenarios out there. And the people that would have the most illnesses because of their problems, in many cases, would have to pay an increased premium. I mean, that further discourages people with medical maladies from getting insurance. And I'm not saying that there isn't a way to do something such as what Safeway Grocery Store does, where they reward people. But what Safeway does is say, look, if you're smoking and if you enroll in a cessation class or if you're overweight and you're working towards bringing down that weight, we're going to lower your premiums. And Safeway Grocery Stores, Ken, has not increased their premium for insurance in the past 4 years.
Well, in our remaining minutes, Congressman, the president is pondering a new strategy for fighting the war in Afghanistan. If he were to ask you for your advice, what would you tell him?
Well, what the president is doing, he's taking his time to see whether or not America should be pulled into a long-haul battle, fighting side by side with the Afghans, going battle to battle. That's called counterinsurgency. It's where we're actually way up front doing commands, etc. Or whether we do something called counterterrorism, which is staying behind the lines, training the people to fight their own wars, doing a lot of intelligence, and that takes a lot less people. General McChrystal has actually called for an additional 80,000 troops on the ground. Not 40,000, 80,000. For every 1,000 troops on the ground, it takes 400 in support, and the cost is $1 billion per year for that thousand people to have their feet on the ground. The president's taking a look at whether or not the government is stable enough in order to be able to take over and to lead. The difference between Iraq and Afghanistan is the fact that in Afghanistan, probably 22-23% of the people are literate. There's one paved road that goes around the country. And even though new elections are going to be held within 3 weeks, most of the ballots would have to be delivered by donkey or by camel. And so you're dealing in a country that's extraordinarily backwards. And the president is taking the time to weigh whether or not there can be what's called a win. General McChrystal has said that he does not guarantee victory will happen even if you put in the additional 80,000 troops. So I'm still waiting, and I'm taking a look at all the options that are out there, including the political situation, as to whether or not we put our men and women, more men and women, in harm's way. But, you know, the options are there, and I'm open to whatever is available based upon the evidence that unearths itself.
Great to talk to you, Congressman. We appreciate your time. 9:59 at 1330 WNTA. News is next.